May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen.
Amen.
I don't think this particular mic is on here. Bill, if you wouldn't mind, would you just check the pulpit? It's the pulpit mic volume and just see if we can boost that up a little bit. That would be great. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. So I'll try to speak a little louder. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I feel like the Verizon guy. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? That's right. I hear. That's right. He's Sprint. Now, my grandma Ruth, who passed away in 2013, told me once about a day when she was just a little girl growing up in North Carolina. Now, a very violent storm was blowing through, and her mother and her older sister were huddled in the corner of the kitchen behind the stove in fear, waiting for it to pass. But little Ruth started out for the front door. She wanted to see God. And she was quite sure that God was in that storm because they had covered this passage in Kings in her Sunday school class. And as she opened the door, her mother called out to her, "Ruth, what are you doing?" "I'm going out to see God." "No, you're not. Get back here this instant." She laughed when she told me that story and said, "I think I didn't remember the passage quite right." Now, it's easy to understand how my grandma, this little girl, could have thought that God would be in the big drama of a storm. After all, God is found in burning bushes and thundering mountaintops and other stories of the Bible, right? In fact, the Bible's full of this type of dramatic narrative. I mean, just look at the gospel lesson today. Demons driving a man to near insanity, so they must be chained up. Then the demons being allowed to enter a herd of pigs who dive right off a cliff. And not for nothing, what did the pigs ever do? I mean, they're just wandering around on the mountaintop, minding their own business. I mean, how awful is that? And in the Hebrew lesson for today, a real favorite, I love Elijah's stories. We have Elijah running from his own demons, those of his enemy, and those of his own soul. And he seeks respite in a cave. He's told that God will be passing by. And as he waits, he experiences wind so terrible it rips apart the mountains. And so he looks for God. Then an earthquake, but still God isn't there. And finally, a fire. Still no God. God wasn't in these shock and awe events at all, but in the calm that comes after the storm. From deep inside this cave, from deep inside his soul, Elijah hears a voice. Small in size, yet great in strength. Now, the traditional translation that many of us grew up with is that it's a still, small voice. But it's actually closer to what we heard today from the NRSV, a sound of sheer silence. A sound of sheer silence. What is the sound of silence apart from being a really fantastic song by Simon and Garfunkel? It seems almost an oxymoron, kind of on the level of, you know, jumbo shrimp, right? Well, that depends. Now, I remember a time about, I think it was 2 years ago, and I had to create a layoff list for my department. I left work heavy with the pain of the decisions that were mine to make. I decided to attend Vespers at the community of St. John Baptist, the Episcopal convent in Mendham, and then to have dinner with the sisters. Only I didn't realize that it was one of their weekly silent meals during which no one speaks. Now you figure I live alone, that wouldn't be so bad, right? But as I sat slowly eating my dinner, the silence overtook me. Over this being in this room of people, and I just couldn't stand it anymore. I was alone with my thoughts, and I couldn't bear to hear them anymore. And so I left. But usually within this hectic world, we often wish for time to ourselves with the noise and clutter of our daily lives. How many times have you said, "I just need some peace and quiet," right? especially all you fathers and mothers out there, right? Just need a minute. Just a minute. It's as though we sense that in silence we can renew our souls. We seem to instinctively know that in silence we can hear ourselves, we can hear each other, and as Elijah discovered, that we can hear God. And yet, for the most part, we seem unable to unplug from the noise of life, as though we all suffer from a sort of ADD of the soul. And the result is that silence is a rare commodity, and we're unable to hear what is all around us. And if we were Elijah, we would miss God entirely. In the past week, I think most of us wanted to hear God as much as Elijah did, yearning to hear how this could possibly have happened again, wanting to hear words of comfort from our Creator. We yearn to find God amidst the earthquake of violence, the fire of emotional pain, and the howling winds of the incessant images all over the television. But what we heard was the sheer silence of the 49 victims whose voices were lost to us forever. The silence of the tears. The silence of our breaking hearts. Did we miss God? Was God even anywhere near? I remember a story about a Midwesterner from the farm who was visiting his college roommate in New York City. And walking near Times Square one day, the farm boy suddenly remarked, "I hear a cricket." "You're crazy," his city friend replied. "This is rush hour, and in all this traffic noise, you heard a cricket. Come on." No, I do. I hear a cricket." So focusing more intently, he walked to the corner, crossed the busy avenue, and looked all around. And finally he approached a shrub that was planted in a large cement planter. And digging beneath the cover of mulch, he found his cricket. His friend couldn't believe what he had seen, but his friend from the farm said, "My ears are no different than yours. It simply depends on what you've learned to listen for. Here, let me show you." So he reached in his pocket, pulled out a handful of change, and dropped the coins on the sidewalk. And at the sound of the money hitting the pavement, every head in the block turned around. "You see what I mean?" the visitor said. And as he began to pick up what was left of his coins, "It all depends on what you're listening for." Elijah was listening for God and was able to hear God in the silence. And in the same way, each of us needs to listen so that we too may hear God, even when things are horrifically dark, or perhaps most especially then, and seemingly hopeless. Hear God through the clutter of the news. And we need to open our eyes to see God pass by amidst the chaos of all that has surrounded us in these past several days. Because if we do, we will see the God that was present in the first responders, in the doctors and nurses and other hospital staff, in the many people all over the world who have gathered, as we did here on Thursday night, to pray, to cry for one another in our time of grief. We can visually see and experience that today at Christ Church in the large 8-foot swan, which remains from the vigil in the center of our labyrinth here in the church, with colorful notes posted all over it. Now, to understand how special this swan is, you need to know something about swans, and about this swan in particular. Swans are generally thought to be a symbol of freedom, lifelong love, and commitment. They can walk on the earth and swim in the sea as humans do, but they also have the ability to soar in the sky. Many cultures believe that they are a symbol of eternal life, the link between heaven and earth. This swan is what is known as an animagule, a multi-part sculpture, and it was brought to us as a community art project from the Barrett Foundation, and we are so grateful for them to lending it for us for the vigil. Now, according to that foundation's website, animagules are Newark's official peace ambassadors. Over 50 schools and communities have collaborated in their creation, and they greet 500,000 people annually at Newark Airport. Have any of you all seen it when you've gone to the airport, these colorful animals, all painted in different, and they're all huge like this one. The creation of an animagule is an act of community organizing and an education in the language of visual arts. The animagules empower community members in understanding their history and vocalizing their own identity. Now listen to that description again. Animagules empower community members in understanding their history and vocalizing their own identity. And this swan helped everyone at the vigil Thursday night to vocalize something about identity, about our identity as brothers and sisters in humanity, and the pain we all feel whenever anyone is hurt, abused, marginalized, oppressed, or tragically killed. As we are part of the large and beautiful quilt of all of creation, all related to one another in God, bound to one another in our common humanity, a loss such as this mass shooting affects all of us deeply. And so weakened and in despair like Elijah, we gathered here in this place to, in a very real sense, to find God, to look for God to pass by. And what we found was that God was not only passing by, but kept vigil with us. As we prayed, as we sang, as we read the names, as we wept and we hugged and taped our thoughts and hopes and our dreams on this enormous and beautiful swan, and as we heard the bell toll 49 times and stood silent, our candles lit together at the end of the night. God was surely there indeed. And you know what? After we had that incredible Thursday experience on Thursday night, this same space where we are this morning, where we had the vigil, was filled with the sounds of children laughing and singing. It was our nursery school's graduation day on Friday afternoon. And for the first time ever, it was held in the church. And everybody's thrilled with it being there. And this is probably where it's going to be from now on. It was the kind of celebration that can only leave you filled with joy and hope. And God was in all of that too. The psalmist this morning surely expressed what many of us felt this week when he wrote, "As the deer longs for the water brooks, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul is athirst for God, athirst for the living God. When shall I come to appear before the presence of God?" We are a thirsty people, thirsty for love and peace in this troubled world, seeking, as the psalmist and Elijah, the presence of God. Look, listen, beyond the fires of daily life, amidst the chaotic aftermath of the earthquakes of senseless violence, beneath the howling winds of war, destruction, and marginalization, and in the sheer silence of our heartbreak, the God who nourishes our thirsty souls is there, present in and through us as we join together in love, present in the sounds of children laughing, present in the silences. Through our own joy and our pain, God is with us. And we are nourished and strengthened for our journey. The journey to spread the knowledge of God's all-inclusive love. To stand up against injustice and to bring about peace in our time. And the time for peace is now more than ever. There's a quote by the Reverend William Sloan Coffin that our bishop likes to use as a benediction and blessing. And I've used it here before, and after a week such as this, knowing that unless we stand up and fight to change the way things are, we will be holding more vigils. We need to hear it again. And so I leave you with it this morning. May God give you grace not to sell yourselves short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. May God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. May God take your hands and work through them. May God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.